Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, one, two, three, set. Set. Let's give Pastor a big hand. Thank the Lord for Pastor. Thank you. May be seated. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. I got him there, didn't I? That's the way to do it. I'm just going to turn that around every time. That'd be good. I'm so thankful to be here. You know I'm supposed to say, everybody says that. But if you can't be thankful to be here, you've got problems in your life. This is incredible. We drive up and the young men are just waiting there, and then the young ladies and the adults, and there's a spirit in this church that, I'm telling you, there's a lot of great places in America, but there's what you have here is very, very unusual. I don't think you know that. You're too close to it. I travel all the time. I was in Ohio this week earlier preaching, and then back in Santa Clara last night, and I've been in Chicago so many times this year, I can't even, my head's swimming how many times I'm stopping through there and other places. But I tell you what's happening here is, Pastor said it, the hand of God is here.
That's right.
And it's almost, it's if you're in the midst of that, which I guess probably all of you are, it's almost frightening. Because you never can tell what he's going to do next. I believe that blessing is there because of the pocketbook. I truly do. I've never seen a church that gets blessed, but they first have given. Yes. You must give.
Yes, sir.
Give and it shall be given. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And I'm not really even preaching on giving tonight, but they correlate together.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm seeing here at this place, and you can just see God's hand of blessing. And I'm so proud of you. We've used your church as an example. That last banquet, nobody could explain that. What happened here last time was unexplainable, and God did it. And I'm so proud of it, just so very thankful. And I am excited about 2 days, tonight here, and then tomorrow night. And tomorrow night's going to be a real blessing. It's just going to be a wonderful time. I said to a church by way of video about 3 years ago, they said, Brother Treble, you sent us a video, a message with some other preachers about our banquet coming up. And it just seemed like God impressed me to say, in closing, I want to say, whatever you're planning to do tomorrow night, and they're going to show this, whatever it was, or two nights, or whatever it is, whatever you're going to do at the banquet, why don't you go ahead and just double it? The pastor said that statement caught hold that night, and people began to double, and that great ministry was able to get probably a $7 million complex for about $1 million. It's just incredible what God did in a southern state, and I'm so excited about it. Thank you for being who you are. And Brother David Gibbs said recently in our church, sometimes if you're not careful, you'll start beginning to believe all the introductions about yourself. But I must say that you make me feel so well loved and accepted. And I appreciate being here. And Brother Scott, we're so thankful for you and appreciate your great work and all that God is doing there. That church where he pastors was the first place in my life I ever preached outside of our church. And in fact, I wasn't even a pastor yet. And I spoke at a music seminar for that church years ago, before I went to North Valley, 32, 33 years ago, I guess. And so it's good to see that church going forward for God under your great leadership. I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Samuel 17. Simon, I may grab this one here. I've asked Pastor if I could not use the lapel microphone. Somehow, I'm not sick, but if I could get better, I might be able to die. I got something back in January in this chest. I can't get rid of it. And boy, it really came on Sunday. And then I was preaching in Ohio Monday and Tuesday. And I had to hold them. I had no voice except for preaching. Got home yesterday. I was sicker than a dog. and I went to the office and had my Bible study ready. And someone said, David Gibbs is going to be in our service visiting tonight. And so I called him. I had the secretary call him and said, you'll preach tonight. I'll be there. And I heard him preach last night and got my voice back today. It's the best it's been. It's been good. And I'm ready to go. Jennifer, you have 25 demerits for not being in the dorm tonight. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be finishing finals. And thank you for Jennifer and all these. You know, I was telling Brother Pineda, God used this church so many ways in my life, but one way is when we started the college. And those first many early years, of course, Pacific Baptist was the largest crowd enrolled outside of our church. And had we not had these many young people that are here and have been there through the years, and you stay here. I'm not advertising. You stay here. This is the right place for you. But Brother Johnny, had we not had those young people, they helped set a spirit on our campus back then. Have faith and excitement in the Lord's work. And I appreciate every one of them. Seeing them tonight, it's wonderful. God gave me this message this morning for tonight, and please don't get worried about that. Lester Roloff, in his many, many latter years of his life, he would just get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and read his Bible and then preach 2-3 times a day. Somebody said, I listened to your radio broadcast on the internet. I must tell you, what I speak about is just from my personal walk with God. It's just that's the way it works. Normally for Sunday morning, Sunday night, I prepare several days ahead of time, sometimes weeks. Sometimes I started a Sunday school lesson series last week. I've been preparing for about 4, 5, 6 months on that. But God gave me something fresh this morning. I've preached, I think, on this text here before. In fact, I know I have, but not this message. And I want to read in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. I want to read a few verses, and I want to provoke us tonight in just a few moments. I don't plan to be long. You have a long day tomorrow and tomorrow night and Saturday and Sunday. Pastor's prepared you. But I do want you to pray about really stepping out by faith tomorrow night. And I'm not preaching on faith tonight. God gave me a session, maybe fast forward you to September, at our pastor's conference. In a session I want to speak to the pastors and perhaps all the delegates about. I already have a file on it, illustrations. There are several churches in America and the pastors that are right now setting such an incredible testimony of faith of what they're doing. I've been writing those testimonies down. I mean, what you'd almost call blind faith. Just sort of believing that there is a God. Yes, sir. And believing that he can. Yes, sir. I'm watching the faith of these men. I just incredible. You preached at one last night, Brother Johnny, Brother David Azzarello in Redwood City. Azzarello is a very able architect, drew all of our buildings years ago. And if not the building, the concept. And he got saved 20-some years ago and then was on our staff and then called of God to that church in Redwood City about 25 minutes from us. He called me months ago. Said, Pastor, I want you to come up and look at these properties I'm looking at. We drove around that afternoon, and quite frankly, it was so depressing. They're all the wrong things. He showed me warehouses. Now we could do this, 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 and he has this great mind how to change the buildings. And I felt badly at lunch, I said there, that afternoon, I said to him, I said, I don't think these are right. It hurt me to say it. He'd put so much effort into it. Somehow he took in my conversation what I said, but I didn't really mean to do it the way he did it. The next week he went home and he stuck a for sale sign on his property. No realtor, just stuck a sign on it. I got wind of that. I said, Brother Azrael, I called him, what are you doing? He said, just obeying my pastor. You're my pastor. You told me to sell the building. Well, I did, but not that way. You buy something first. And then, you know, with contingencies that your building will sell. And he didn't hear that part. He said, you sell the building. Yeah. He told me how many offers he had. I thought, oh, no. And he said, we're going to accept this one over here. I said, well, where are you going to move? He goes, well, that's where I really took your advice. I didn't give him this advice. He said, I just believe that if we sell it by faith, God will give us something else by faith. Yes, sir. Well, yeah, that amen's good here, but you try it. Yes. And it's all resting on, you know, my incredible faith. I didn't have faith. He did. And he sold his property. And sure enough, they found toxics on it. And the people that bought it said, oh, we'll take care of that. In fact, and they gave him extra benefits to stay there. He found this other building, 2323 Euclid. I programmed it in my car, drove up there. I said, oh, it's great. He can't afford this. They put an offer on, and sure enough, I knew what was going to happen. 10 offers came in on that same property. And once you know it, the Baptist was the smallest offer. The home developer was going to tear the buildings down. He had a big offer. The Buddhist had a good offer on it. On and on it goes. But you know, we as Baptists were so cheap. Because he wanted to take the money here and just basically transfer it over. And you can't do that. That's not the way it works. Here's this man, great faith. So he starts every night having prayer meeting. Call it prayer and praise. Well, that's great, but you're setting your people up for a big letdown. Because, you know, God's got to do something here. And I believe God can, but I tell you what, I had that doubt too. So the three Hebrew children. And if you have such great faith, well, why don't you just get the seed of a mustard seed and move some of these mountains around here?
Yes, sir.
If you got that much faith, why don't you go ahead and by the Colosseum over here for this church. We don't have a lot of faith, but it doesn't take a lot of faith. Long story short, Carol, who's the pastor of that church, she's a nice lady. She met with the church and they decided, we don't know why, but we're not going to work with these other nine. We'll work with you. And not only do they now own it, but next month they move into it. You saw it, Pastor, Brother Johnny. I'm keeping track of these testimonies. It's one of many. Because I want to use it to provoke God's men in these closing moments before eternity begins to jump out by faith. The president of Iran said, I have the quote in my room tonight. He said, within 3 years, we will completely annihilate and disintegrate Israel and Americanism, the United States of America. He said, we have 40,000 terrorists that we're going to release with bombs. And so if that's true, then why do this? Why have a banquet tomorrow night? One reason is when Jesus comes, I don't want to be sitting. I want to be doing. And I want to try to lead my church to do more than we've ever done. Busy in the Lord's work. Sacrificing. Serving the King of Kings. We are a heartbeat away from Ezekiel 38 and 39. We're a heartbeat away from Russia. For some reason, Russia and Iran have become great friends. Now, isn't that a novelty? The Bible said that that was going to happen. Iran is Persia. In 1954, they became Iran. And isn't it amazing? They are strange bedfellows. God said they would be. They hate America. President Putin hates America from Russia. He likes the president of Iran. They're negotiating together. I'm saying all that because I would like to be able to say again, though Pacific Baptist did it last year, we need, the cause of Christ needs this testimony at our pastor's conference to preachers. See, many preachers are worn out and many of God's people don't think it can be done. The way you sing, that's not everywhere, but it can be everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Flew into Detroit, and on my way to this church, we drove through a little rural community. And just these little few houses and a white clapboard church built in about the 1900s and a big steeple, beautiful little old tiny little building. I said to the pastor, who owns that, a Baptist church, a Brethren church, a community? That's what you'd think would be in that little community. He said, it's a mosque. The Muslims came in and bought it. Now, folks, we need what you're doing here. And tonight I want to ask you to just pray. Though you've sacrificed once and many times to get what you have, you're going to have to do it again. I want to speak to you tonight on the moment must be seized. There are defining moments in a person's life. There's defining moments in a nation. I remember the day Ronald Reagan was elected. I was preaching on the campus of Hiles Anderson College. That man came into office and 444 of our people were prisoners of war to board a ship. If you recall, when he came to office, there were lines with our gasoline. We'd take our buses on Monday morning, wait in line to get gasoline for our buses, and then guard them all week long that nobody would steal it. America was very defeated. We were very low. Interest rates went up to 24% at the height. Very depressing time. We didn't think we could win anything. That president came in a defining moment, and he seized the moment. He believed that America was worth fighting for.
Amen.
He believed that that wall should come down. Mr. President, tear that wall down. And he did not back down. It's a defining moment in America. We have a leading politician that stood up 2 weeks ago and said to America, we have lost the war in Iraq and we cannot win. That man did not seize the moment. I don't think there's anything that we could fail at if we had a heart to win. We could win. It's a defining moment. We must seize the moment. In your marriage tonight, you must seize the moment. So we're going through a hard time. We'll seize the moment. In your personal life, seize the moment. Don't tell God how it can't be done. I can't have victory. We're living in a world of depression. 19 million adults are on antidepressants. 15% of those will kill themselves. The fastest growing group of people on antidepressants today, I just hit my arm and I think I almost broke it. I didn't realize that was there. I didn't break it. Just really, I got that. Right there. Yes, sir. Ah. What is that bone? Not a shin bone. What is that bone there? What is it?
Funny bone.
That's not funny right now. I'll tell you that right now. It's connected to a pain bone right now. I hit that thing right there. It's not my fault, not yours. I was all excited about telling you something. The fastest growing group of people in America on antidepressants. Senior citizens? No. Zero years of age to four. Fastest growing group on antidepressants. 4-year-old and below. We have accepted this idea that kids can't make it without drugs. Even 4, 3, 2, 1, and newborns. I believe I'll seize the moment. Whatever God's put in your hand, quit telling God that you can't or you won't. Dr. Jack Hiles, I'll get to the text and I won't be long. Dr. Jack Hiles in 1959 had a great ministry in 58 in Texas, 4,000 people coming, exciting work. But in 59, God called that southern gospel fireball of a preacher to the north, to a stately church where the preacher prior to him would wear tails on Sunday morning to preach. You never moved your arms to lead the music. Choirs, very, very highbrow church. Nobody said amen. God took them there because positionally, he positioned them in an area that eventually could reach that area with the gospel of Christ and eventually have a college and eventually produce hundreds of preachers, your pastor being one of them, for the cause of Christ in the United States and around the world. We have about 40 of those preachers in the state of California alone. It's amazing. What happened? He seized the moment. Maybe he didn't want to seize the moment. I remember his testimony. I remember he fell asleep driving down the freeway trying to figure out, do I go, do I not? And just in turmoil, I don't want to go. I don't want to, pardon me, leave Texas. And he woke up and there's a semi-trailer. And at the semi-trailer, the back of it had a sign on it, Hammond, Indiana. I know we don't go from spooky signs, but he knew God had kept talking to him and talking to him to deal with him. The man seized the moment. Dr. Lee Robertson, whose funeral was today, seized the moment for Chattanooga, Tennessee. He seized the moment. He saw a city that needed a gospel witness. Amen. You go down that downtown area, all that downtown is owned by them, 4-story, 5-story, 3-story, 2-story, 1-story building, 7,500 seat auditorium that God raised them up. 97 years of age, last Sunday, God took them. He seized the moment. He owned the town. The town bought a new fire truck and they named it the Lee Robertson Fire Truck several years ago. He seized the moment. Dr. Jack Howe seized the moment. Viola Walden went home to be with the Lord this week on Sunday also. She was the original secretary of Dr. John R. Rice 61 years ago with the sword of the Lord and has worked there till last Sunday when she went home. She seized the moment. Amen. I'm telling you, I pastored a church. And in 1975 when it started, I thank God for the start date. But in 1980, we were confronted to walk by faith and go forward and build a, at that time, 32,000 square foot building. And the city said, no, you can't do it. But God's people went to God by faith. Amen. And we kept praying and believed God wanted that. And I can recall, we went down, I've told you this story before, I won't need to go into detail, but I can recall going back to that city when the city finally said, 7-0, build your building. We seized the moment. That was the pivotal moment for our church. I have a story of a man by the name of David. He's but a kid. He's a youth. He's facing Goliath. And the Bible says in chapter number 17, verse 45, and David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of hosts. This day will the Lord, this day, that's faith. This day will the Lord, not the church, the Lord, deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. It's individual. And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I want the world to know, he says, that God is God. Verse number 47. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword nor spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. If we're going to seize the moment, you're going to have to seize something that's bigger than you. Go back to verse 23. Please. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine. And he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. David was a big boy. Goliath was a big man, big boy. Verse 24, all the men of Israel, they were afraid of him. They saw him, they fled. He was huge. And David, in verse 13, was just but a youth. Just a child. He's a young man. But he said, though I'm small, and though I'm but a youth, I believe God. And tonight in your life, at your job, in your marriage, in this church, in this city, in America, you have to find something bigger than yourself. Seize the moment. What we do, if we're not careful, it's bigger than us. My marriage, my child rearing, so we run from it. I have a dear man that will probably call me tonight on my phone when I get to my hotel room. The man has an 8-year-old girl, a 5-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old boy. About 2 months ago, his wife got tired of being married. She said, I want to be married, and I don't want to be a mother. I tell you, my heart broke this last Sunday when that 8-year-old girl came by her pastor and said, she couldn't even talk to me, and her dad said, today's her birthday. Mom's out doing what she wants. She's seizing something smaller than herself. I tell you, being a mother is... It's something bigger than you are. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot bring a child up for God without the help of God. You must have the help of God. And raising children is bigger than you. I know we've raised 3 of them. We're watching our grandkids get raised. It was beyond my ability. It was beyond my talent. It's beyond my wife's ability or talent, but God in his goodness allowed us to see that that was bigger than us, but God is bigger than what our problem, our difficulty, our opportunity, or our battle, or our struggle. God is bigger. I told you I'd get it done, but my arm's not hurting. My voice is coming back. I'm feeling good. 1, seize something that's bigger than you. Seize something. Giving tomorrow night has to be bigger than you. Secondly, you'll be attacked when you seek to seize something that's bigger than you. You will be attacked. One of the sorrows for me is that if the Lord tarries a year from now, some of you won't be able to take the attack and you'll be out of church. There will be battles. You say rise up and build. Tobiah, so... and Sanballat, and they come and say, we're going to oppress. There will be a battle. Verse number 28, please. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why comest thou down hither? And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness and thine heart. You see, he was attacked, and he was attacked by his own family. It would be translated into your life. Why do you go to that church? Why do you give so much money to that church? Even your own family. Perhaps your mother's lost, your dad's lost, or a relative's lost. They don't come here. They're not going to understand this. You go to church. I can't understand. You go to this Sunday school. You go in the morning. You go back at night. And you go on an off night on Thursday night. And then the man just stands and yells at you. And then you walk forward and you kneel there like I'm the one that's a problem. And then you give more money. What's wrong with you? They don't want to understand it. And attacks come from within, Acts chapter 20, and from without. But they will come. Still seize the moment. You seize something bigger than yourself. You seize something. When you seize it, you're going to be attacked. When seizing the moment, you must always remember past victories. Look what he says, verse 34. David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him and smote him, and he delivered it out of his mouth. He rose against me, and I caught him by his beard, and he smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." You know what David's saying? I remember last time, the victory over the lion and the victory over bear. God can do it again. This guy's an easy target. He's not moving like that lion and bear. I remember, Pastor, I remember when you were coming to Long Beach. I remember it. I remember how a pastor and his wife came by faith. I remember how God gave you a place to meet. And then in time, remember the other building God gave you that. That was... This church couldn't figure that thing out. God did that. And then this place, in my estimation, one of the most beautiful, beautiful buildings. You drive up here, it's like, come on in here. This is home. We didn't do this. God did this. How in the world do you explain last year's offering? That's the lion and the bear. Getting the last building and this building and the first building, that's the lion and the bear. I tell you one of the things that keeps me going in my church after these 31 plus years is what God did last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. And he did it back then. He can do it again. He can. And then number four, when seizing the moment, I think I'll preach this at my church this Sunday. I like this message. I'm just not going to break my arm. When seizing the moment, please don't forget. One, you seize something that's bigger than you. Two, when you seize the moment, pardon me. You will be attacked. When seizing the moment, you're going to have to remember past victories. But when seizing the moment, number four, seize it from a position of victory. Tomorrow night's a victory. I don't know the dollar amount. Quite frankly, that doesn't really concern me that much. Not if we all do our best. You say, will it be bigger than last year? Maybe. Will it be half as much as last year? Maybe. It's no problem. Right. Will it be a fourth as much? Maybe. But if it's our best, that's a victory. Yes, notice what the Bible says, verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. That's victory. From victory unto victory. His army, his people shall he lead till every foe is vanquished. We had a victory last year. Let's have another one tomorrow night. Let's just seize it. Amen. Our Father, tonight I'm so very grateful for this great church.